Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Danielle Eloff, writer, lecturer, attorney at Hunter Spears. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. It's lovely to talk to you guys again.
Lovely to speak to you, although they always seem to be difficult conversations. I was always under the impression that expropriation without compensation was provided for in the Constitution.
Well, yes. It's, well, at least expropriation is provided for in the Constitution. Our wonderful negotiators who got the Constitution and wrote the Constitution made sure that we do have some mechanisms within our constitutional framework to ensure that the question regarding land dispossession in South Africa could be answered. And it has been used. The biggest problem is, like many things, is the tool, the mechanism within the Constitution hasn't been used effectively or well by the ANC government during the past 10 to 20 years.
I find that amazing, because why are we still having this? Why are we having this conversation now? It's been a considerable period of time. The facility is there. Isn't this really more simply typical of the ANC, which is that we might have the laws in place, it's the implementation where things fall apart?
Yes, indeed. I actually had this conversation yesterday with a colleague regarding why the ANC now, during the past, what's it, almost 5 years, only really jumped into the land debate. There's wonderful research by the Institute for Race Relations where they point that the question regarding land or at least land reform in South Africa really isn't a top priority for most South Africans. It's something that was sort of conjured up out of thin air by initially the EFF, and the ANC then wanted to, I believe, take back the initiative, and then they made it sort of one of their central plans or one of their central campaign points. But the problem again comes in that for most South Africans, it's really not a high priority, and it's expected as well. I mean, South Africans are more concerned about poverty, more concerned about safety, more concerned about the economic prospects see. Land really isn't one of our biggest issues, but politicians make it an issue.
Well, is it perhaps because the EFF have pushed this to be a front and center, and the ANC doesn't want to lose their perception or the idea of them being a liberation organization?
Yes, I definitely think so. It's because the EFF made it, I mean, absolutely 100% their main issue, their hot button topic. The ANC, I think, was scared that they might lose some of their initiative and obviously votes to the EFF. And that's why they sort of tried to usurp it from the EFF. That's when we saw the processes starting in Parliament regarding the amendment of the Constitution. That's when we saw the ANC actually take on this issue for the first time. And it did coincide with the rise of the EFF. So you can make your own conclusions regarding that coincidence.
Absolutely right. So what happens now? Is this, I mean, again, if it's really about implementation, then no amount of discussion and rewriting of constitutions is going to make a drop of difference.
It's not going to make a difference. I mean, we saw, for example, in Zimbabwe about 20 years, almost 20 years, well, but less than 20 years ago, when they started with their land reform process and their expropriation process, that the majority, and now I'm talking about basically 90% of the agricultural land that they expropriated there, went into the hands of less than 1,000 people. It all went into politician hands, military leader hands, crony hands in the end. So we have a wonderful example of, you know, literally just the neighbor north of us, of how expropriation without compensation plays out. And it's not a pretty picture. And
especially with the ANC's history of corruption.
Yes, indeed. So, I mean, there's no reason for us to think why the ANC will do it better. It's that classic cliche where they say, you know, government power is wonderful. We just need my person or my guy to be in there because they're going to wield the power the way I want them to wield it. But unfortunately, we all know that's not how human beings work. We know that that's not the reality. In the end, the great power will be misused. So the challenge that I think South Africa faces is just to delay this process long enough that the environment changes. I spoke about this yesterday on another program where we said that 5 years ago, in 2016, South Africa was a very different place. President Jacob Zuma was still president. The DA were, you know, on the rise. It was just before they won three other metros during the 2016 local government elections. And now we're 5 years later and the picture has completely changed. So if we're able to delay the process of expropriation without compensation and the amendment to the constitution just long enough, we might sit in a completely different South Africa in 5 years' time.
Mm, mm. I read in an article in preparation for this interview that somebody called it, you know, they said, why are we calling it expropriation without compensation? Just call it land confiscations. Which obviously is a bit more jarring when we hear it that way, but I guess it might be right.
Yes, well, it is what it is. It's you know, sort of just putting some glitter on over the words to make it feel better, but it's what it boils down to. And what I think people should also keep in mind, and this is the most dangerous part of the amending the constitution. And people always talk about the slippery slope fallacy. But the point is, it's the slippery slope is not necessarily always a fallacy when you reach the bottom of that very slippery slope. Mm. And the problem is the amendment or the proposed amendment doesn't amend the constitution to say, well, we can expropriate land. It says we're going to expropriate property. And property is wide ranging. It's not just agricultural land. It's not just homes or apartments. It's anything. And the issue then comes, we're now one step closer to government being able to say, well, you know, that second car that your family has, you don't need that second car because you have too many cars. We'll expropriate you, give it to someone else. You know, you have this wide range of other dangerous possibilities when private property rights aren't safe and secure and protected within our constitutional framework.
Surely there are other aspects in our constitution that would fight against that kind of a concept.
Yeah, well, you'd hope so. You'd hope that you'd be able to argue in court that this is not, you know, just administration. This isn't rational. It's not all of
right.
these things.
Why
but
go there?
Again,
why get
if, there? Yes, it's dangerous. You put your reliance on our courts and you forget that the expropriation without compensation debate isn't happening in isolation. It's happening against the backdrop of NHI, which is basically expropriation of your private medical aid. It's happening against the backdrop of prescribed assets, which is, let's not call it expropriation. Let's call it confiscation, like you mentioned earlier. It's confiscation of your pension funds later on. So we can get to a point where the court says, well, we've been doing it
in other elsewhere
with pensions. Why not do it with your family cars or family property?
What now? How is this, how does this get opposed?
Through our, at least for now, still ensured participative democracy and the processes surrounding it, there are wonderful organizations that enable you to have your voice heard. There are wonderful organizations who've been doing presentations before Parliament during the past week. And again, some of the listeners might say, but what worth is it? Why go through all this trouble when we already sort of think it's a foregone conclusion that the ANC will amend the constitution? And I get back to the point I raised earlier. We're busy with fighting for time. We're busy delaying the process to ensure that we perhaps in 2 to 5 years' time sit in a different South Africa where the debate isn't as heated as it is, where the zeitgeist has completely changed. And hopefully then the fight is different. A friend of mine, Hamra Petrides at the IRR, always says that we should remember that no political victory is permanent. it always changes. In the 1990s, when we thought, okay, finally communism has been defeated, here we sit a mere 20 years later, and a lot of these communist elements are back within the main, you know, stream public debate. And that's the crucial thing to remember. It's always worth keep on fighting for.
Absolutely right. Daniel Eloff, writer, lecturer, and attorney at Hunter Space. Thank you for speaking to us, as always.